Greetings. In the precious name of Jesus, our loving Lord and Savior, the one who means so much to us, God has been so good, made provision for our spiritual well-being. We would like to exalt Christ this morning in our sharing, in our meditation on his word. The title of the message this morning is Magnifying Christ. If you think of magnifying something, our thoughts often go to a magnifying glass. You take a magnifying glass to enlarge something, to make it more clear to see. Now, most things that we use a magnifying glass on to enlarge helps us to see the imperfections that item or that individual has. You might see a person that you think has a nearly perfect face. But if you were to take a magnifying glass that would enlarge that person's face by 10 times, you would see flaws. You'd see imperfections. You see the beauty of a flower. If you hold it under a magnifying glass and enlarge it 10 times, you might see some imperfections. But you would still see a beauty. If you enlarge it. If you'd like this morning to think about magnifying Christ in our personal lives, God would have us who have come to know Jesus, who are his disciples, are his followers, to magnify him, to make him more visible and help people to see who he is and what he can do for them. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 says, the saints were first called Christians at Antioch. And we believe the reason that they were given the title Christian was because they were followers of Christ. I believe it was the desire of those early disciples, in the absence of Christ, many of those early disciples were daily followers of Christ. They walked with him. They talked with him. They spent time with him. They knew him personally. But now Jesus had gone back to be with God. He had ascended back to the Father. And now it was their responsibility, and now it is our responsibility to exemplify Christ, to be magnifying him, that people who take their Bibles and read about Christ, and as they witness you're in my life, that they would say, now I understand it more fully. What a responsibility you have, I have, we have as Christians to help people to understand more perfectly who Christ is and what he wants to do in the lives of people. That's a tremendous opportunity, but it's also a big responsibility. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That verse reminds us this morning that God wants us to pattern our lives after him. He wants us to, first of all, yield ourselves to him, present our bodies to him, that he can make us in his likeness. He concludes that first verse by saying it's our reasonable service. It's a reasonable response that we ought to have for what he has done for us. And he goes on and reminds us that we should not be conformed to this world. The more conformed to this world we become, the less we can mirror the life of Christ and reveal him in others, to others. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we can prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning, if we're going to mirror the life of Christ, magnify the life of Christ, it needs to be like John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, I must decrease. If we're going to mirror and magnify the life of Christ, it means less of me and more of him. That's the only way that we can magnify Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 15. The very familiar gospel, John chapter 15. Very familiar chapter there, the vine and the branch chapter. Just like us to be reminded this morning that if we're going to magnify Christ, it's only going to be as we have that vital connection to him. He being the root, the trunk, the vine, and we the branches. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We'll just continue reading there. The reminder that as we are connected to the vine, have that life-flowing energy and strength and connection, it's only then that we can magnify Christ, if we have that vital connection with him. For our text verse this morning, go with me to Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul speaking here. Philippians chapter 1. There's two verses that we would especially like to highlight here. We're going to read verses 11. We'll start reading verse 9 through 20, 21. But the two verses we want to highlight is verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We are to live lives. We want to live lives to the glory and praise of God. Then over in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Having that context and that thought in our minds, you see what the Apostle Paul's desire was, that he would magnify Christ. And the Apostle Paul it didn't matter to him whether he would magnify Christ by living for Christ or by dying for Christ. His concern was that Christ would be magnified. Christ would be glorified in him, regardless of whether it was through life or through death. Philippians chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a testimony the Apostle Paul had. It's a testimony each one of us should have for him. And don't we conclude this morning, as we analyze the life and testimony and commitment of the Apostle Paul, that truly his life did magnify Christ. That was his chiefest interest, his chiefest concern, that Christ would be magnified in his life. I'd like to look at a number of points this morning that I think are important for us to follow and understand if we're going to magnify Christ in our lives. Number one, we need to live a life of self-denial. If Christ is going to be magnified in your and my life, it's going to be through a life of self-denial. Philippians chapter 2, just the next page over, verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We are asked there, commanded there, encouraged here, if you will, to have the mind of Christ, to follow his example, have his mind. Even though he was with God, he was with the Father, he took upon him the form of man. He came down to this earth in such an humble way to help us understand God more fully, more perfectly. While Christ was here, I believe through his earthly ministry, men and women of his time and ever since that time have a new understanding and comprehension of who God is. Jesus magnified the Father. He magnified God. He made more clearly humankind's ability to understand who God is. We now have that responsibility as Christians, as followers of Christ, to help people understand more fully and see more clearly who Christ is. Luke chapter 22, verse 42 says, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Surrender to the Father's will. Jesus was fully surrendered to do the will of the Father, even though it meant a cruel death on the cross. A life of self-denial. Jesus is our greatest example. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But if that's to be our experience this morning, we need to first of all be crucified with him. We need to lay down this life, surrender ourselves to Jesus, set our affection on him, set our affection on heavenly things. If you're going to magnify Christ in your life this morning, it's going to only be through, first of all, crucifying self. It's the only way we can magnify Christ. Our second point this morning is we need to walk in love. Walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Christ is our example of walking in love. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Followers of God as dear children. And then the encouragement to walk in love even as Christ showed us that walk of love. He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. How much has Christ loved us? Christ loved us so much that he gave his life. And now we are commanded to love as he loved. If we love as Christ loved, it means that we will give him our lives. We will give him our all. If we'll give him our all, he then can be magnified through our life. Just back up to chapter 3 in Ephesians. Verses 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Again, we're focusing on walking in love, the love of Christ. Ephesians 3, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul reminds us here that the love of Christ passeth knowledge. We cannot fully comprehend or understand the dimension, the extent of Christ's love, but we rejoice in it here this morning. And we are called on as followers of Jesus to have that same love in our hearts and to show it to our fellow man. It's a beautiful way this morning for us to magnify Christ, to show love, to show people by our daily lives that we have the love of Christ in our hearts. That's how we can magnify him. We could turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We won't turn to it this morning. We have the charity chapter, the love chapter there, where we are encouraged to have charity above all other things. Love. If love is in our heart, the love of God is in our heart and is flowing through our lives, flowing from our tongues, it's just a part of us, it will bless other people. it will magnify Christ. There's a lot of people in the world that don't know what love is. May we be faithful in showing the love of Christ through our lives. Our third point this morning, to magnify Christ, we need to be filled with compassion. Filled with compassion. Controlled by the compassion of Christ. Many times in the Gospels, we see this phrase, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, he was moved with compassion. That's how we see Christ. That's how we understand his earthly ministry. His whole purpose of coming to this earth was out of compassion for the lost state of humanity. That's why Christ came. And so again and again, we see in the Gospels, Matthew 9:36, if you want to write that reference down, would just be one of many, where it says, and seeing the multitudes, I believe the first verses of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mount, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, seeing the multitude, he was moved with compassion. You want to magnify Christ? Have the compassion of Christ. Reach out to other people, and Christ will be magnified in your and my life. If we will do just that. At one point, Jesus, we are told, looked out over Jerusalem, and he wept. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. We see the heart of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And we need to have that compassion as well. Our fourth point this morning, if we're going to magnify Christ, we need to have a forgiving spirit. Again, Jesus, our perfect example of forgiveness. Hanging there on the cross, his accusers were there mocking him. Those who nailed him to the cross were standing there or sitting there, watching to see what would become of him. Jesus would have had the power to call down angels and bring deliverance. But what was his attitude? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, our perfect example of forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive. People trespass against us. People do things that irritate us. We need to have the heart and love of Christ, and we need to forgive. Remember, we're looking at ways that we can magnify Christ this morning. When people see that you have a forgiving spirit, they take notice. They say something's different here. And it gives us an opportunity to point people to Christ. And we say, Christ has forgiven me so much. Why should I not forgive you? Or why should I not forgive this other individual that has offended me? And so we forgive. We have it in the Sermon on the Mount. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's in Matthew chapter 6. In the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's follow Christ's example. Let's magnify Christ through forgiveness. Our fifth point. To magnify Christ, we need to do those things which please the Father. Again, following the example of Christ, he said, I do always those things which please my Father. That was Jesus' testimony. That was his desire. Hebrews 13. I think that's the benediction that we so often use. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Yes. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The prayer there of the Hebrew writer was that we would always do those things which were well-pleasing in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. What is your motivation in life? What is your greatest desire in life? To do always those things which please the Father. If it is our commitment, if it's our where we put our interest and our effort and our energy to do what pleases the Father, do what pleases God, we'll be magnifying him, magnifying Christ through those actions. Our sixth point, to magnify Christ, will be through a life of prayer. Through a life of prayer. Even Jesus, while he was here being the Son of God in the flesh, he oft prayed to his Father in heaven. He had that vital connection, that relationship, that conversation continually with his Father. And if Jesus needed that, don't we so much the more? We need that relationship where we share what's in our heart with the Father. A life of prayer, beseeching God for his direction. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication. Are you one who resorts quickly to prayer? We ought to be one who resorts quickly to prayer. As we face difficult circumstances, as we face important decisions in life, we come to God in prayer. And we do it before others. We pray together. And in so doing, we magnify God, we magnify Christ, because we show that he's the one we depend on. He's the one we turn to. Thereby we magnify him. He's the one who has the answer for life's perplexities. He's the one who has the answer for today's question, whatever it might be, for tomorrow's challenge, whatever it might be. He's the one that we can go to. And in so doing, we glorify him. We magnify him. Because we've come to him. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5 verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The promise there that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man will have results. God hears. He responds. He will respond. And it's an opportunity to magnify Christ. Do you magnify him in your prayer life? Our seventh point this morning, we want to magnify Christ, it will be through humility. Through humility, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You talk about a life of humility. There's not a greater example than the example of Christ. Leaving the glories of heaven, the riches of heaven, a place equal with God, if you will, humbling himself and coming down to this earth. That's the height, if you will, of humility. But Jesus was willing to do that for you and for me. It calls us to a life of humility. What are we willing to give up? Are we willing to give up self, as we looked in one of our other points, to the degree that Christ did? James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The way of humility this morning is the way of God's blessing. It's the way to find God's support. God resists the proud, but he gives uplifting power. He giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might work through your life and Christ might be magnified. Our eighth and final point, to magnify Christ, we need to live a life seeking the lost. Seeking the lost. Matthew 18, verse 11 says, the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole purpose of Jesus coming into this life, into this earth, was to save lost humanity. And it's our call, our responsibility, to be seeking out the lost around us, magnifying Christ through our efforts of witnessing and seeking the lost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's go out and exalt Christ to the world, in the communities in which we live, as we have those opportunities. We are ambassadors for Christ. Christ is not here anymore. He wants the Christians of our time, you Christians here in this place, wherever God leads you, to be his ambassadors, his representatives in this time. So God bless you this morning as you attempt, in what may seem like just small, feeble ways, by a life of godliness, by a life of obedience, by words of testimony, whatever it might be, we have the opportunities, the responsibility and the opportunities to magnify Christ, to make him more clearly to behold, to make him more clear to understand who he is and how he wants others to live. That's the sobering responsibility we have as his followers. God bless you as you magnify Christ. Shall we kneel for prayer?